And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite hour of baseball ever, unless you're Derek Van Riper, your second favorite hour of baseball ever. It's Under the Radar, part of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Off-season time, good times. I'd like to welcome in my friend and yours, Ian Khan.
Hello, my friends.
Your friend of mine, Derek.
I guess it's my fourth favorite hour of the week, because we do 3 hours of Rates and Barrels every week.
All right, we'll just go ahead and brag. Good for you.
Hey, man, you brought the knife out, so I got to twist it, I guess.
Is Britt on all 3 hours?
No, Britt's on Fridays every week.
All right. Nice. All right, well, we're here, and we hope you enjoy us, I guess.
Very much. Very much, we hope.
All jokes aside, Rates and Barrels, good show. It's fun. Enjoy
Great
it.
Show.
Check it out. DVR.
Yeah.
You got to call him out. That's not the big news. Let's start with the medium news. DVR's got to call him out. Kind of taking a look at some of the recent signings. Go check it out. It's good. It's very deep. If you need to brush up, just click on Derek Van Riper's author page and read the last three things he's written, because it'll give you rankings and it'll give you all the offseason moves to date of significance. Joey Lucchese, that did not make it, but it will. Next one, right?
Yeah, it'll be in the next one.
All right, we'll get to him. Big announcement. Ian Khan, no longer, we can still plug RotoWire because they're good people and we love them. But Ian Khan joining The Athletic as a writer. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I have to say, it's pretty exciting. My friends over at RotoWire, James Anderson, Clay Link, Jeff Erickson, Todd Zola, Jason Collette, just right, great guys.
You want to go into the assistant editors too?
No, that'll do.
All right, the programmers?
You know, it's great. After being here, this is our third season of doing the show, bringing over my dynasty rankings to The Athletic. It's really great, and I've gotten some lovely feedback from our friends in the industry who are really happy for me, and I'm grateful to them. But real one last tip of the hat to RotoWire, who my last rankings are over there right now. So give them a look if you want. But I'm really grateful to be with, I'm working with my man, Nando DeFino, Derek Van Riper. I get to, you know, sort of bring it all under one umbrella, so to speak. So I'm really happy about it. Yeah. Thank you.
It's exciting. I saw even people who aren't in the industry were writing some nice notes too.
Yeah, well, it was really, yeah, it was, James was like, when are we going to do this, dude? And I was like, yeah, let me wait a couple of days. And then we got to Martin Luther King Day. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it now. And he was like, yep. And nothing but love there, really, nothing but love. I'm going to be going back and doing podcasts for them, doing with Clay and James, the Prospect Pod. And we're going to take my dynasty rankings, compare them to James's dynasty rankings, and sort of have a whole lot of content over there. So it's great. But the best week, the best hour of my week is always with you guys. And I'm just really glad to. It's true. It's my favorite podcast hour of the week by
Me too.
Far.
You know, when I keep telling you guys I can't do it because I've got so much work and stuff to do, and we have to keep
it's
pushing
true.
Around. It's actually, but it's not like one of those things, like it's an annoyance. You know, it's like, oh, here we go. You know, Tuesday at 10, this is on my calendar.
Last week, we were supposed to do a show last week, and then Nada was like, guys, you do two-man booth. I was like, no, we don't know. It's off-season. If it was on-season, we would do it because we'd have news, and we have lots of news today. But no, it's the three of us. That's the game. You
know, oh, by the way, I know this is like number, I don't even know where I put it, 6 on a rundown, but DVR is suddenly in love with Mike the Mouth, who I've tried to get on the show forever. Now DVR is doing drafts with him and saying what a great guy he is and texting us about the Mike the Mouth draft that he's in.
Yeah, how did that end up going, DVR?
Yeah, DVR.
Which of those questions do you want me to answer first?
Go with the draft.
Yeah, okay. I think the draft is probably the most interesting. And I wanted to play in a draft and hold league. I'd play in probably one every year for the last 4 or 5 years now. At least one, because the First Pitch Arizona crew has one that happens too. But I like this format. It's 50 rounds, 15 teams. Mike the Mouth sets up a bunch of them. He gets a lot of the high-volume NFBC players to join So you get a good competitive league and you get through it quickly. We started this at noon Eastern on Sunday and we were done, I think, at 6 o'clock Eastern on Monday to get through 50 rounds. So that was the main draw.
Was that
for
slow
me.
Draft?
It was a slow draft, but it was, you know, 1 hour, one hour pick clock where people were pretty connected throughout. And Mike does a really good job of keeping things moving. If someone steps out for a minute, he just lets them know, hey, you're up, get a pick in. And overnight, people did a good job setting queues. But yeah, awesome draft all around and just a lot of fun to get a draft in and to really dig to the very bottom of the player pool, because I look at this format as great prep for like a normal 15-team league where you only go 30 rounds, because eventually the guys that are going after round 30 are going to be either late rounders in March, or they're going to be possible fab pickups, or they're going to be players that we care about in keeper or dynasty leagues or AL or NL only leagues. So it's kind of a great exercise because it's competitive, but it's also good prep for more leagues that are to come.
You know, I'd be most curious to know who you took in like round 30 through 50. I mean, 1 through 30 is going to be, you know, players, but 30 to 50 is where really where you win those leagues, getting people who will help you.
Did you take our guy? Did you take Rylan Bannon?
Ooh, did I take Rylan Bannon? I did not.
I think we know the answer. All right, if you don't know the answer,
we do know the answer pretty quick there.
I was trying to remember if anybody else drafted him, because I was not at the computer all day on day two. I was just making my picks and you know, working off a queue. Nope, no Rylan Bannon in this one. Undrafted in the 50 rounder.
All right, that's fair. Where did our guy Joey Lucchese go? I find him super intriguing now that he's a Met. Super duper intriguing.
You found him super intriguing when he was a Padre,
right? So that's why I added the duper.
Undrafted because he was still a Padre when this draft concluded.
Interesting. He would have been drafted had he already made it to the Mets, for sure.
Is he like is he a 34th round pick right now, or is he better than that?
Not better than that. About that. I would say about that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
where was Steven Matz taken? Because he's going to be in that same bucket.
Steven Matz is in the 38th, Ian. And if you look at the 33rd, Antonio Senzatella, Jose Quintana, Brent Suter, Alec Mills, Alex Wood, guys that mostly just chew up innings. I mean, that's kind of where you'd take them.
I like Alec Mills in the 33rd. That's pretty cool. He's got some interesting stuff. I enjoyed these 50. I've done two of them so far. I did one on my own, and then did one with Robert Mershock.
Yes.
And it was really fun. It's just a great way to, first, NFBC is just a great place to play. But also it really digs you deep. If you're paying attention, you can get a lot of information from 150. You know, if you can spare the $150 to play in one, I would recommend not doing a 4 hour, because that can get really frustrating. The 1 hour can be a little tense because you really got to be on your toes. So I think the 2 hour is the best of it. The 2 hour between picks, because people normally are going to make their picks within 5-10 minutes. But if someone does get lost, you don't have to wait 4 hours for them to make their pick. So I would recommend it. I really would.
Yeah, but you know, well, didn't we argue this last year about waiting the whole 4 hours?
Oh no, don't. We can't go down that road.
I'm not going down that road. I'm just wondering if we did that here, right? We did.
We
right?
did that here, yeah. And it was not something that we want to recommend to anybody to take wait your 2 hour. Wait along your 2 hours. No, that would not be good.
Tell you what, man, I did a best ball 10, which is only 32 rounds. I thought it was 30. I thought 32 is kind of a weird number anyway, but I can't. I'm caught in the middle because I don't like the points league, and that's what the best ball 10 is. But it's also, I don't have to set a lineup. Whereas the draft and holds, you got to set a lineup, and it's 50 rounds, and it's more expensive. Like the best ball 10 is obviously only $10. I need like an NFFC 25. I don't have that kind of $150 bling to throw around in January.
Yeah, but it's just kind of like three really good baseball cards, you know?
So I also feel dirty because I partner with Vaquero. Every year we do three. Like we'll do one in January and then we'll do two like right before the season starts. And we've won every year for like the last 4 years.
Have you really?
Well, it's good. Dude, this is the perfect, like, you know how you always try and figure out like what's the perfect way to do a partnership? Vaquero does the first 30 rounds and I do the last 20. And it's just like the perfect yin and yang, because he's so strong there and I'm a psychopath with the last 20 rounds with all these randoms, and it just works out really well. And then he sets all the lineups. So that also helps.
Got it. DVR, could you go down just quickly, read from 31 to 50?
Yeah, DVR.
You just want to know players I like who are available late? Sure.
Oh, who you got?
Yeah,
you,
31 to
you
50.
You stopped texting
31
us.
31 yeah. to 50. Yeah, I did. I got wrapped up in some other stuff. But Nomar Mazara, DJ Stewart.
Love it.
Jose Quintana.
Like it.
Brad Miller.
Whatever.
Mike
if
Zanino.
You slow down. Ian can give a little comment on each one. One word comment.
No, because that'll take too long.
One word, Ian. One word.
Okay.
Right. Here's a quick bit of comment, though, on Mike Zanino. Catchers were flying. I took Zanino because I already had Francisco Mejia, and you need at least four catchers in a format like this.
Yeah,
and if you get a tandem, at least if one of your starters gets hurt, you at least have the backup. So
double tandem your catchers in this format is what I would suggest. You know, if you're going to take Gary Sanchez, take Kyle Higashioka. I can't even say it. It's too early in the morning. It's 10 a.m. We never do it this early. that's definitely the move. Okay, so keep going.
As Drubal Cabrera needs a team.
Fine.
Brendan Rodgers. Scott Barlow. Luis Garcia, the pitcher. Okay. William Contreras.
Wait, can I call a timeout? Why'd you groan at Brendan Rodgers?
Only, not that I think Brendan Rodgers can't become something, and I certainly do not mind him at that spot of the draft. It's just, he's so disappointing. I remember back, I had the first pick in a draft. I traded for the first pick in a draft in the Brendan Rodgers, Dansby Swanson first-year player draft year. And I just went back and forth between Swanson and Brendan Rodgers, then ended up trading the pick right before the draft. But I really decided that I was like, you know what? There's something about Brendan Rodgers I'm just not digging. It was something I read an article about something, and I can't remember what it is. But, you know, the upside is always there. I mean, he hits the ball really hard, but he's just struggled so long and so much. But perfect spot for him there, 37th round or so.
I feel like he hasn't had his shot. You know what I mean? Like, I think his name's been around for so long. People are so hyped on him because he was a Colorado hitter with some power potential. Like, how old is he? He's still young. And he never had that. You know, like, Ryan McMahon kind of got his shot. You know, Garrett Hampson kind of had his shot. Brendan Rodgers hasn't had that run yet where he's had his shot. Even Raimel Tapia's had his shot. You know what I mean? And he's the leadoff hitter now. But Brendan Rodgers, I feel like people are just sick of hearing his name who are in deeper leagues. And maybe this is the year where he gets like 300 at-bats and 200 of them are in a row. And he's amazing.
Yeah, that's why it's perfectly fine. The groan was not at the choice of pick. The groan was just at the Colorado Rockies. I mean, you got a new player, a young player named Zach Veen, who just got drafted by the Rockies, who by all expectation should be a really great player. But everyone should have this fear that they just jerk their prospects around to such an extent that it hurts their development. So, you know, it becomes a question. Like before you would say, ooh, a hitting prospect in Colorado, I'm all over that. And now it's like, a hitting prospect in Colorado, they're going to blow that, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I like that, actually. I feel the same way about Houston. Anyway, DVR, sorry we cut you off.
Yeah, it's all good. So 41, got Shed Long. I think he's going to play all over. If he doesn't end up taking over second base from everyone's guy, Dylan Moore, Shed Long will be the utility guy. Shane McClanahan. AJ Minter, Tim Lopes, Jorge Alcala, Joe Ryan, Logan Allen.
There's your Joe Ryan. Did you buy his cards like you said you were going
to? Not yet. I was looking and they weren't ready to sell yet. They were like 2 days away at the time. So I should probably check back in today after dinner. Logan Allen.
I love Logan Allen.
Logan Allen Cleveland?
There's two Cleveland Logan Allens. The one that they got from the Padres,
San Diego,
previously, and then they drafted Logan Allen.
I always liked him
last summer.
I like that in that spot.
Trevor Larnach in the 48th,
nice.
Pedro Baez in the 49th, and Alec Bettinger in the 50th round.
And you couldn't have snuck in Rylan Bannon for the show.
But for that's the show. What you're gonna do. You're gonna do that.
It's not the same.
Hey, he's your guy. I thought you were teaming up with Mike. I thought you were sharing that team with him. I left him for you.
With Mike the Mouth?
Yeah.
We just thought that I was right. Yeah.
I just assumed you were working in the background with him.
I just purchased 7 Joe Ryan cards.
Oh, that's a punishment, I guess, for me, for not drafting Rylan Bannon.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, so I'm going to, if it's all right, it's not on the rundown, but I'm going to go down my quick, and I think our boy Nando is going to like some of these players. So let me just do one that I did on my own, that I, not with Robert Mershak, but this is one I did back in November. If I can just share my under-the-radar guys from 31 to 50, sound good?
I think it's great. I love this exercise, actually.
Okay, so Roberto Perez, I took at 31. It was a third catcher, I think. And then Corey Knebel at 32, because I have Jansen, and I thought he'd be a good handcuff for Jansen. Matt Shoemaker at 33, Steven Matz at 34, Ryan Braun at 35, Luis Garcia second base at 36, Daniel Lynch, ooh, love me some Daniel Lynch at 37, hello. Royce Lewis at 38, Royce Lewis, absolutely. All right. If he comes up this year, he's going to go right into my lineup. Bradley Zimmer at 38, actually. 39. Joe Kelly at 40, just to really lock down that Dodgers situation at the time. Freddie Galvis.
Sorry. Jazz Chisholm or Royce Lewis?
Well, Chisholm's closer.
Sorry, I was just wondering. I wonder
but
like how high.
If we were going to do a dynasty trade, and I had Jazz Chisholm and you had Royce Lewis, and you offered me... I had Jazz Chisholm, and you offer me Royce Lewis for Jazz Chisholm, I'm pressing accept and fast.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
No, it's fine. So Freddie Galvis at 41, Mike Fiers at 42, a solid pick in that area, just as, because, you know, in these 50 rounders, really there comes a point where everybody's hurt. And so just to be able to use Mike Fiers, even in a good matchup or in a good two-start week. Yoshisha Hirano, this was before the Rafael Montero, just as a possibility. Nolan Gorman at 44. This is based on Brian Walton. Brian telling me that Nolan Gorman, everyone should hear this. Grab Nolan Gorman this year. He said that the reason that Colton Wong did not get his option picked up is because they have high hopes for Gorman either this year or early next year, but that he was just rolling it at the camp last year. And if he comes up, that's why they can move Edmund to second. So it was Gorman that was behind that choice. Christian Arroyo at 45. Our boy Darren Ruff at 46.
Dude, I love both of those. I love both of those a lot.
That's why I told you were going to be happy.
Yeah.
47, Alex Young. It's really just break glass in case of emergency from Arizona, but might need to break glass. Jake Cave at 48, because I've got Buxton, I want to have the backup of Cave, sort of a handcuff idea there. Michael Perez, I don't know why, at 49. And then with the very last pick in this draft, because I was team 15, I took Albert Pujols just on the upside that he might run into a few hot weeks.
Wow. I like that end game.
Yeah, I like that end game too. I'm kind of happy with it. It's a lot of there's upside here. There's also depth, and that's what you're going for. But I'm also looking to get in those last 20 rounds. That's why I love the Trevor Larnach pick. Where did you get him? Where did you get Larnach? At 48?
48, yeah.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. I mean, that's a Larnach. If Kirilloff struggles at all, we're going to see Larnach this year. And Prospects Live just had them, just put Larnach back in the top 25, I believe, at like 24. That's our friends Eddie and Ralph and the rest of the gang over there, Smata. All those guys, they just put out their top 100 prospect list, which everyone should take a look at.
I like that we help other people out as much as we can, by the
damn
way.
Damn straight. Yeah. Those guys are good.
And I know this is a personal, ridiculous question, but did Jose De Leon go in any of these? Because I know he got hot for a minute, like a month ago, when he struck out like 13 people in five innings. And I should have checked in on him again, but I just, you know, I know. But did anyone take him? Is he, and where did Lewis Brinson go?
Brinson, I think I took Brinson, if I'm correct.
All right.
No, nice. I did not take Brinson. All right. Actually, I'm going to read. There's more under the radar guys here that are pretty darn interesting that I'm going to read real quick. 20 to 30.
At this point, we know where this is going, right, DVR? Just read your entire team.
Well, no. But you're going to like a couple of these guys. Shohei Ohtani, I took a 20 for the upside of pitching, really. Or for the upside of him not pitching anymore and becoming their starting right fielder.
Can you use him as Alex both in this format?
Yeah, you can. Not at the same time. Darn. No. Darn. But Alex Reyes at 21. Again, that's a Brian Walton discussion. Ty France at 22. Nice. AJ Puck at 23. Austin Slater at 24. Feels a little early now, if I'm taking an honest opinion of this. Madison Bumgarner at 25, which is strange because I got him at 30 with the draft with Mr. Mershak. Jeremy Jeffers, 26. Roman Quinn, 27. I guess I needed some speed. No, Roman Quinn and Martin Perez, I timed out. This was the one-hour one, and I was on the wheel, so they both got picked. Oh. It was very frustrating.
What were you doing? You're usually on top sleeping. Of this stuff, man. That's not
no, I am. Thing. That's why I said that's. But that's why I made the point that the 1 hour can be a little stressful. It could just be a little stressful because if your turn comes up at 1 in the morning and you're asleep, it's still going, clock's still running, and nothing you can do about it, which was a damn shame. And then Nasung Bum and Jose Iglesias, who is an interesting player in this format for me.
While you were doing that, I threw up Jose De Leon on my screen. In Puerto Rican Winter League, 3.18 ERA, 31 strikeouts in 17 innings, a 1.06 whip. That's a 16.4 K per nine.
Whoa.
As a starter.
And how many innings was he going in the starts? Do you have a game log?
He's got 4 starts and he's got 17 innings. So it doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, 4 or 5, yeah.
That's still impressive.
I mean, look, it's not like I discovered this guy out of nowhere. He was a top 25 prospect twice.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He certainly was a look, when Jose De Leon becomes a star, you're going to claim him and you're going to own him and you're going to be right.
I don't like doing that. I just like helping people.
Right. Well, but if Jose De Leon ever becomes, then we're going to throw a party. We're going to throw an under the radar party.
Yeah. And that will jinx him. And then we'll just quietly go about our business and move on to the next one.
All right.
Joe Ryan. We're Joe Ryan show now.
You know, Joe Ryan is an interesting pitcher in the Tampa-based system. In 2019, he really showed some stuff. And I traded him last season for Nathan Eovaldi straight up. And there's an example, if you're playing in industry leagues where you really need to, if you're playing with other people who do prospect, it was with Rich Wilson, who runs Prospect 361. And I had read that he is a huge fan of Joe Ryan. And I'm a fan of Joe Ryan. I picked him up off the wire. And then we traded him. We traded Joe Ryan straight up for Nathan Eovaldi in a trade that feels great.
Okay. I thought there was more, man. You're taking weird pauses again.
No, I'm just saying that Joe Ryan is somebody to keep your eye on. If he's sitting out there, he's got a good arm. He's got good stuff.
I mean, I want to spite not like him for DVR, but his numbers are incredible, man. He's good.
I don't root against your guys. Like, what's this all about?
You don't root against DVR because we took a decent part of the beginning. There was an interesting conversation. We had the second base conversation on the text about DJ LeMahieu versus Ozzy Albies. Let me ask you, DVR, if Ozzy Albies, you took Albies in the third round, right, at pick 32.
Yep.
If both were available, which way would you have gone, do you think?
I think in the moment I would have gone Albies for the steals, even though LeMahieu might bring so much value in the batting average category. We were going back and forth about some of the projections. I think the forecaster has DJ LeMahieu in the 320 range with his batting average, which is just an amazing projection for that category. But he did the thing that I was worried about. He stayed with the Yankees. This is good because he fits the park perfectly. The counting stats are going to be great because the lineup scores plenty of runs. He really does tick all the boxes. I'm stuck with Albies versus LeMahieu as my line. If Albies goes at pick 30, pick 32, somewhere around there, then LeMahieu should go at least that early, and maybe he goes a little earlier. I think there's an argument that Albies could move around. Well, Albies could fall a little bit in the lineup, like more likely than LeMahieu, I think, just based on their core skills. I like both players, so this isn't don't draft this guy, draft this guy. It's sometimes you have to make a choice where you really like both players, and it's better to make that decision ahead of time than to have to decide while that timer's ticking down.
If you like both, isn't there a world where you can, the world is probably auctions, but grab one and grab another?
With LeMahieu having first, second, and third base eligibility,
yeah, right?
You could grab both.
The value is in getting a good second baseman.
Right.
Right, because you'll find third base you can cover really easily at a cheaper price.
JD Davis.
But second base.
All right. We're always going to be.
I mean, JD Davis is. I just don't know that he's going to get the playing time. We'll see what happens with the designated hitter.
Won't he start? Is he starting at third? That's what I assumed he would be doing. I could be the wrong one.
There's something in me that just doesn't think that JD Davis is going to be our starter at third base for the Mets on a regular basis.
All right.
You know, he could be in a nice platoon. Jose Martinez signed with the Mets. I did not know that. Did you guys know that?
Yeah. Mets are making some very interesting moves.
It's a really small deal, though, for Martinez. He's not guaranteed to be on the roster.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Well, I mean, as it's set up now, you may be right that JD Davis is going to get that time because unless there's a move made, he looks like he's going to be pretty well set there. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, with Cano going down for the season, it does open up that space for him. I mean, I don't even think we spoke since the Lindor trade. What a trade that was for the Mets. And I definitely think it's going to have a vibe like the Mookie Betts trade where Betts was there and was sort of like, I love this. Wow, look at this. This is like the best. It's so nice here. The people are so nice. And there's Clayton Kershaw. There's Cody Bellinger. I want to sign long term. And I have a feeling that Francisco Lindor might have the same experience. And then to be able to get Francisco Lindor playing in New York, I mean, he's going to be the biggest, I mean, maybe the biggest baseball star in New York. That'd be interesting.
If Aaron Judge can stay healthy, I think he's forever going to be the guy.
Yeah, but that really is the question. But
right.
It's certainly a worthy for Queens, it's pretty damn good. I mean, Francisco Lindor is the best player the Mets have had since when? I mean, since who?
We need a Mets fan in here.
I mean, I know enough about the Mets. I live in town and I don't hate the Mets. It's a lot easier to be a Yankee fan who can like the Mets than it is to be a Mets fan to like the Yankees.
David Wright?
Yeah, I guess David Wright would be the best player. I mean, Carlos Beltran would be in that conversation.
Mike Piazza's in that conversation.
Yeah, but he was a Met. I mean, Beltran was a Met for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And had some good seasons in New York. But I would say David Wright is probably their version of their best player. There's no comparison for me. I mean, Lindor is a better baseball player than David Wright was.
Watch Lindor hit like 35 home runs this year and be totally overshadowed by like Stanton and Judge staying healthy and like going 55 and 60 home runs each or something.
It's possible. But the thing about Lindor is just the energy that he brings to a team. I mean, just watching that guy play every day. It makes that team so much more interesting, so much more fun.
Yeah.
That's a genuine superstar on your team.
Which they need.
Which they needed, and they got for Ahmed Rosario and
Andrés Giménez.
Yes, who's great and probably the best player going back on the other side.
I helped work names into DVR's kind of description in the back end of the system here, pulling the curtain back. Derek Van Riper discusses all the offseason moves, including Ahmed Rosario, because I think a lot of people are going to start searching for Ahmed Rosario and what kind of player he's going to be kind of outside of New York. I think he might not be the best, but I think he's the most intriguing part of this deal. People loved Ahmed Rosario. They were waiting for him to get called up and like he was going to be the Mets savior.
He never got there.
He's still young. He could put that all together and Cleveland's a good park for hitters.
There's also a philosophical question, right? I mean, because Rosario just turned 25 in November, and I put this in the article that went up, that Nando was talking about earlier. There are some outlets, people who are good at analyzing prospects that had him as a future 60, future 65 player. Are we able to, by age 25, if we've seen 3-4 seasons in the big leagues, are we able by this point to say that the future value was wrong, or is it still possible that he's one of those guys that just takes a little bit longer to get there? I mean, the approach has never been patient, right? He's a 4% career walk rate guy. Yeah. He steals bases, but he's not super efficient. I think he's caught about a third of the time, but he's fast, 92nd percentile in speed. Really nice year in 2019. I threw it out there as a poll. Have we seen his best season already? His best season was 2019. No. It was 287, 15 homers, 19 steals, a league average hitter in terms of WRC+, but probably a better fantasy player than a real player with what he did in that 2019 season.
I mean, he can certainly have a good career, but it does not seem like he's... I mean, I think the Mets did a fantastic job. I think it's a great trade. I think it's a fine trade for Cleveland because they were going to lose him. And you do have real upside with Jimenez. And Rosario is fine. I mean, I don't know. It'll be an interesting question to see what will happen. But I'm looking at their lineup on Fangraphs right now. And here's the thing that should be noted. Can you guess who the starting first baseman is going into this season?
For Cleveland?
For Cleveland.
Did they keep Carlos Santana on a one-year...
No, he's in Kansas City now.
Naylor?
Two-year deal. Nope. Josh Naylor is the starting left fielder, who I'm pretty excited about.
No, they can't have this guy. Come on.
Yes, they can.
No.
I'm only laughing because it's going to make Nando so happy. The starting
is
first
Jake
baseman.
Bowers? Are they projecting Jake Bowers?
Jake Bowers.
Nice. All right, look, look him up. Look up his stats. Look up his minor league stats. He was good. Jake Bowers, 30 home runs.
Here's what I think might happen. I think you might say, I mean, they also have Bradley Zimmer in center field, which is interesting to me. They have Daniel Johnson in right, and they have Oscar Mercado on their bench. I would not be shocked to see Josh Naylor go back to his original position of first base, at least some of the time, and then move Mercado into the outfield, because that would be a pretty good fielding outfield if they did that.
All this hate for Jake Bowers from the two of you is very suspect.
Nah, it's not hate. It's just, it's not. I'm delighted for you. Here he is, Jake Bowers.
I mean, it's not for me, but you know.
Right, but you know, this year when we do our Triple Crown, Jake Bowers, and when you take Jake Bowers in AL only.
I'm not doing Triple Crown again.
Oh.
What? Okay. Well, I'll donate. I'll throw DVR like $50 for hunger, but I'm getting rid of all my leagues.
Are you?
No, I'm keeping a couple.
Yeah, no.
Do you have some news to share with us? What's going on here?
Yeah, DVR, have you decided whether you're going to do the Triple Crown again this year?
I have not decided, but
I think people enjoyed it. You should do it again.
Leaning yes. I think some people that drop out might be replaced by people who would have done it if it weren't a shortened season last year. So I think it happens.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it'll should leave fun. It as a 60-game window.
Now we're back to that. Yeah. I think everyone's going to be excited to be back. Well, not everyone, but I think people
June.
Are excited to start it up again with a full season. I think it's going to be more fun this year.
Ian's army of mercenaries.
Season. Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but it's interesting. The this team, how many wins? Logan Allen is set to be in the rotation as of now, so that gives your pick that he's the fifth pick. He's the fifth starter. How many wins can the Indians pull out this year with this team?
I bet you they could 75 to 82. Their pitching is amazing. Maybe amazing is too much, but amazing for what people might think this team would look like as kind of like a patched together group of misfits.
I mean, their rotation is Bieber, Plesac, Savale, McKenzie, and Logan Allen.
I mean,
so there's certainly some risk there. Plesac, I saw something interesting about Plesac. You know, he's such the darling of the offseason. But if you look at his starts, so many of them were done not on normal rest. And the ones that he did on normal rest were more pedestrian, whereas the ones that he did on expanded rest were the special ones. Just something to keep in mind.
Well, he's a knucklehead,
I don't want to talk about anybody today, but okay. I just don't. I, you know, it's like he made an, let's say this, he made a knucklehead decision, which suspended him for a while.
And then the video
COVID-19.
Well, he was driving without a seatbelt.
Yeah. All right. But that's just something that I keep in mind. Like if people are thinking of Plesac as a number two, I'm just not going that far, that fast.
I think Quantrill's going to break that rotation. And someone's going to, I think maybe Savali is the odd man out there, but.
Maybe.
Kel Quantrill's Savali. Just lurking in the bullpen, ready to strike.
Yeah. He looked pretty decent last year.
McKenzie goes up to number two. Allen, like, number three. You know, Plesac drops down to four.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to go on the lower end, and I'm going to say about 72 wins for the Indians.
You know, that's all right. I think this comes down to Jake Bowers and his 361 minor league OBP.
Maybe, but you know, you're counting on a lot of people to step up in this lineup. I mean, it's really like a small market team now. And they're going to, who knows, maybe they trade Jose Ramirez next.
It'd be weird. It'd be very weird if they traded him too, but yeah, you can't put it past them at this point. I do think Quantrill's pretty interesting. And I think with Tristan McKenzie, I think you guys are probably concerned about innings like I am, right? We saw the velocity, even in the shortened season, drop off from start to start. You just worry that he's not going to make it through 30-plus starts with his best stuff,
right,
unless he got a lot stronger this offseason.
Yeah, and I mean, also, you know, he had those ridiculous first couple of starts where he just looked like the best thing since sliced bread. I said it. I just said the best thing since sliced bread. But it is a concern, and that's a concern that I have about all of these young pitchers. I'd rather someone else get the upside of the Sixto Sanchez and the Tristan McKenzies. I just think you're better off getting guys who have more of a pedigree behind them.
I get a feeling that, like, this innings thing is going to be a problem for everybody across the board, not just Tristan McKenzie. It's almost like they hit reset, especially for the guys who aren't playing in winter leagues. But again, it goes back to, like, what were these players doing when they were on that pause? And then what did they do in the off season? Because, you know, what did everyone top out at last year? Like, how many innings can you possibly throw if you're, like, the number? Wait, we had that discussion, right?
Well, Shane Bieber, I think, probably threw the most innings last year. So he probably, how many?
But it's not like these guys are coming off 180, 160 innings. You know what I mean? They're coming off like 100 at most.
None of them are coming off 100.
Well, so, what did we say, 80? Was it 80?
Yeah, Bieber is 77 and a third. Lance Lynn led the league with 84. Germán Márquez, Kyle Hendricks got over 80. Yeah, if you got the postseason, Bieber would have got to 100, I think.
Yeah, but it's really dangerous. I think you're right. I think it's going to be hard for people to get up to 200 innings after this past season not getting past 77. There'll be some who make it. There will be some who make it.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Would you say that Lance Lynn, as a dynasty asset, has sort of used up most of his value? You know?
He could be the Nelson Cruz of pitchers, though.
He could be. It's true. He has a similar sort of body type. He's like a horse, that guy. But how long does it last, Lance Lynn? I wonder about that. He's on the block in one league that I'm in, and I'm sort of like looking at him going, that might be... might be a good play for 2 or 3 years. You know, like Charlie Morton was just traded in that same league. And, you know, you're going to get a year out of Charlie Morton, maybe, and maybe half a season. But Lance Lynn might give you 2-3 years. You know, It's just an interesting question.
I was going to let DVR handle that because I like Lance Lynn's one of those guys when I'm doing my drafts and stuff or like an auction. I'm just like, all right, this is the player where I go down and look at my sheets and make sure everything's crossed out where it should be. And I don't pay attention to even what he's going for. And in like drafts, really? I just don't even regard, like I just skip right over him when I see his name. I think it's because, I think it's because of the way the question you just asked.
Maybe, but he's been really, I've been grabbing him the last couple of years and he's played very nicely and I've been able to get him as a SP4 and he's been performing like an SP2 or even an SP1 at times. Now he goes to Chicago to a much better team, probably more wins. What do you think, DVR?
I think he turns 34 in May, and because these last two seasons have been a pretty good step above what he was doing previously, when you tack the strikeouts on to the good ratios. We'd seen good ratios before, but we'd never seen well over 200 Ks from Lance Lynn in the past. I think this is a lot like that Charlie Morton situation where most of the dynasty value in the eyes of people who have him or are thinking about him has probably passed. They probably see him as a rapidly declining player, which might not be right. Like that's the fun part of this, right? It's not completely obvious. I think the move from Texas to Chicago probably is a little bit more difficult from a park factor standpoint now that we've seen how New Arlington played in the shortened season, extremely pitcher-friendly environment there, but it's not that big of a deal. I think he's got a pretty good bullpen protecting his leads. He's got a good offense providing run support. So the team context is better than it was in Texas.
He's got a really good bullpen.
Are you confident in an ERA under 4? The bat projections came out recently. The bat has him at 4 even. Steamer's got him at 4.27. Zips has him at 3.97. Where are you at on the ERA for Lance Lynn?
Yeah, I'm going to go under 4. I will go under 4.
Like a 3.92.
Even less. I mean, he had a 3.32 last year, 3.67 the year before. And that year before was just huge. I mean, if you look at 2019, 208 innings, 246 strikeouts with a 3.67 ERA and a 1.22 whip. But then last year, he even got better, maybe? I don't know. I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. 84 innings, 89 strikeouts. So not as much strikeouts, but then a 3.32 ERA and the whip was just remarkable, 1.06. I don't know. There's something there. There's something there that should not just be ignored.
He's been a different pitcher since 2018 when that velocity jumped. The results didn't happen in 2018. That was the split season between the Twins and Yankees.
Yeah, that was tough.
But the Ks were there, even though the ratios weren't good. That was the only time. 2018 was the only season of Lance Lynn's career where he's had an ERA above 4.
That's what I mean. Also, you know, there's a little something here. If you look at 2016, where he had the TJ surgery and he was out, feels a little bit like Adam Wainwright. Not the end of Adam Wainwright, but the middle end of Adam Wainwright, right? You know what I mean? Where he came back from TJ, I think Wainwright was the second TJ, comes back from his TJ surgery and is kind of better than ever for a while. And I think that we'll look back on Lance Lynn as these seasons being his best, though only going all the way back to 2014. I mean, he was really good. I mean, 2.74 ERA, still the whip was a little high, 1.26, 181 strikeouts in 203 innings. I mean, in some ways, you could say his last two seasons are his best. I mean, you really could.
Yep.
Which is what makes him such a conundrum.
Yeah.
Unless he just
got more. That's like, if you have your choice between Lance Lynn or Tristan McKenzie, I don't think they're going in the same area. But if you did, like that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I don't want the shiny bauble of Tristan McKenzie. I'd rather get the 200 innings from Lance Lynn. But I'm curious, where would Lance Lynn be with Sixto Sanchez? So let me just look real quick. Where did Sanchez go for you?
Sanchez, I'm looking at his ADP since January 1st, goes 126th overall.
Uh-huh. And where does Lynn go?
Lance Lynn goes 50th overall.
Oh, well, that's a pretty big difference.
All right, well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm not, wait, Lance I'm not Lynn breaking goes any new ground here.
50th overall or 50 among pitchers?
50th overall. Lance so
people
Lynn
taking
versus
Lance Lynn before Vlad Jr.?
People are taking Lance Lynn before Vlad Jr. by only a few picks, by 5 picks. So they're,
that's Eloy Jimenez range too. They're like that 50 to 60 range. Has, yeah,
Eloy's third round.
Yeah, Eloy's up at 35, 36 overall.
All right, I haven't checked that in a while, I guess.
Yeah, no, but yeah, all right. So, I mean, in the draft that I did in November, Lynn went 73 and Sixto went like 130. So I guess there's not much of a question, because for me, I would say I would take Lance Lynn over Sixto Sanchez.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think
just for the, you know, but who would you take?
But you're wasting that pick. Why would you take Vlad there? You're going to take Lance Lynn there?
Well, I'm not doing that. I wasn't doing Lance Lynn or Vladimir Guerrero.
Right.
At that point, if I was going to take Lance Lynn or Vladimir Guerrero today, based on the pictures that have pictures of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which look a heck of a lot like Vladimir Guerrero Sr., I'm taking Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
I'm in on Vlad for 2021. I really am.
Welcome back.
I believe. He looks like a different person. He looks like a different player. Looks like somebody who has dedicated himself to what he's doing. And I'm excited to see how he goes. I mean, in that draft, Vlad went 61.
Man.
Back. And now he's going to be going in the top.
He's
going to
be a third round pick by this time next year, at least.
I think that's right. Maybe beginning of the fourth. But I mean, if you were going to take Rafael Devers or Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which way would you go?
That's pretty close. I think I would take Devers. We've seen him get to that level, but we have a conversation at least.
I think I would take... it's tough. I think I would take Vlad. And the reason I think I would take Vlad is because of the position. Because again, third base, you've got guys way down, like Josh Donaldson being taken in the 13th round. That certainly is of interest. Justin Turner, J.D. Davis, our boy, J.D.
Our
Davis.
Our boy.
Whereas when you get to first base and you're looking at the first baseman... Things get tired. I mean, in that same area, you're betting on Jared Walsh or Josh Bell. So I'd rather lock up my first base than lock up my third base. Make sure that I get my first base instead of my third base. But also, I think I have a natural dislike for Rafael Devers as a Yankee fan, to be honest. I really do. Like, I'm just like, screw you, dude. Screw you, Rafael Devers. Which isn't exactly the way you should play the game. But I think that there must be something there, a little bit of a bias against him.
Rafael Devers befuddled me last year.
Yeah, I think he befuddled everybody last year.
All right.
He was parts of some big trades. I traded for him and then moved him within 2 weeks. But bought him because I just thought it was too good of a deal. But ended up moving him again. There's a guy that I'm really curious about. This is not on the rundown.
Well, I thought the rundown's off. I think we've answered one thing on the rundown.
Max Muncy. How do you feel about Max Muncy not in an OBP league, but in an average league for 2021? Max Muncy.
I drafted him in the 7th round of the draft and hold league we were talking about a little earlier in the show, and that's right where Matt Olson went. I think they're kind of similar hitters. Olson maybe has a little more of a power ceiling, but it's very close. But the key for me between Muncy versus Olson is Muncy has the DJ LeMahieu eligibility. You play him first, second, and third. And in a league mm-hmm. where you can't make moves, there's a little more of a premium on that flexibility. I think it matters in all leagues, but I think it's even more important when you can't make pickups.
Well, let's say that's definitely fair, and I can understand that. But for Muncy, let's say in a league like GDD, where you can make moves and you can make pickups, who would you take, Max Muncy or Olson?
Probably take Muncy there.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not saying that I'm sold on Matt Olson the way I'm not sure that he's the guy. But at the same time, there's something about Max Muncy that I'm a little bit down on. And I can't quite put my finger on it and what my reasoning is behind it. But he's the guy that I'm looking down and making sure that my sheet is right.
Hey, Ian, in the rundown, speaking of which, hello, old friend. Mm-hmm. I put... Ian, tell us about Pedro Leon, all in caps. And I cannot remember why I put that in there. I don't know if you referenced him or something, but it's there. And I don't know why. Well, right above that, why is Masahiro Tanaka going so late in drafts?
Because there's a very likely chance he's going to end up back in Japan.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it from his perspective. He came over to be a New York Yankee. He wanted to be a Yankee. He had the chance to opt out 2 years ago, remember? And everyone was like, oh, Tanaka's going to opt out. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to opt out. I want to stay with the Yankees, and I'm not going to get paid any more than I'm getting paid now. He's still dealing with this loose Tommy John, like, bomb that's waiting to go off in his elbow.
Right.
So teams know that. The Yankees could have had him back, but they chose Corey Kluber for $11 million as opposed to Tanaka. Tanaka's asking, apparently he's asking for $15 million, but the Yankees don't really want him back, which is kind of sad. And if they did, if they signed him for $15 million, you know what I would say? I'd say that's too much watching him pitch all the time. He just does not have such amazing stuff. So he goes home. He goes back to Japan. He goes and pitches in front of people who think of him as like the greatest pitcher that has ever, you know, other than maybe Yu Darvish, that Japan has ever seen. I'm sure I'm missing out on like three or four of the best Japanese pitchers of all time. But he's a national hero. So why not go back there, make about the same amount of money, and go back and be with your family and be close to all the people who love you? For me, and the only other place that was really looking at him was San Diego, and they filled it up with Joe Musgrove now.
Yeah. Pedro Leon, I remember why. He was the Astros signed him. Cuban outfield prospect, Pedro Leon, for a lot of money. 359, 420, 678 slash with 21 homers, 61 runs batted in, 8 stolen bases over 65 games during the past two seasons in the Serie Nacional. Maybe we'll get him for next show, along with all of these emails that we didn't get to. Whoops. Oh, yes. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, I'm
pretty sure we promised last time and we didn't. Sorry, Matt Olson, Charles from Chicago, and and Eric. We'll get to him. I promise, next show. But we got to go on this one because it's time.
Nando's got a tight out.
I got a meeting.
Tight out today.
Sorry.
He does. He's got a tight out. But real quick, what do you guys think of the Joe Musgrove pickup?
I think it's too much, man. I don't think San Diego needed to do that. I feel like, I don't know. There's something I know everyone's getting excited about, and I kind of like the players they've gotten so far. There's something there. I'm not just it doesn't sit right with the San Diego buildup. Feels weird.
All right, DVR, what about for you?
I think they're just loaded 1 through 5. It either buys them more time with Mackenzie Gore or at least covers them in the event of an injury. Because I think with Darvish, Snell, Lamet, and Paddock, you've got 4 guys that have had various arm injuries in the last 5 years now. So having some insurance, if you're going all in for this year and not having it be someone with little or no big league experience, I mean, I get why they went ahead and pushed more chips in. I didn't see it coming. So I guess I have the Nando like ominous vibes. I share that, and I'm just worried about maybe the Padres thinking Denelson Lamet needs some time or something, because
and actually looking at their rotation now with Darvish, Snell, Lamet, Musgrove, and Chris Paddock at number 5 makes me laugh. It's obviously great, but if Lamet's not good, then all of a sudden, I love what San Diego's doing. I think that they're going all in the right way. They're doing it. If you're running a dynasty team over time, this is the way you do it. You build up your prospects, you pick up some big players, and then when you're right there on the edge, you trade a Hudson Head outfielder, good prospect to the Pirates, and you get yourself some Joe Musgrove. And I'm there for that. His underlying numbers are good. We all fall into the Joe Musgrove trap every year, and he tends to disappoint. But I think this team is loaded. I love this team. They're also going to be fun to watch. I mean, I just can't wait to see Kim when and where he's going to play. You know, Grisham, Tatis, Machado, Hosmer, Pham, Myers, Cronenworth, and Nola. That is a really, really good lineup. I'm really excited about this team. I think it feels like the Yankees, Red Sox, and the NL West with the Dodgers and the Padres, and I'm there for that.
They might bring back Profar too.
Do you think they'll bring back Profar? I just don't know where. Where is he going to play?
Utility guy.
I guess that really does kill his value. I almost rather see him go to another team and really just get an everyday job.
Jake Cronenworth's going to start over Profar?
Yes.
You're crazy.
They like Jake Cronenworth.
Jake Cronenworth is a utility guy.
He is a utility guy, but I just don't know. But they also have Kim. I mean, if they don't sign Kim, they keep Profar. But in signing Kim, I just don't see where Profar is of real value. You know?
They got Brian O'Grady, former under-the-radar superstar. We got to go. I'm sorry. Well, I got to go. You guys can stay and do the rest of the show.
No, that never works. We don't do without you.
All right. I'm sorry, everyone, and I'm sorry to the 3 of you who sent emails. Hey, keep sending in the emails. We'll definitely get to them by February. fantasypods at theathletic.com. DVR? Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Send in questions, quotes, whatever you'd like. But we got to go. So for the man who, well, we really know how he feels about Zach Plesac, and he'll reveal it off air. Ian Khan.
That's me, and have a good week. See you next time.
For the man who, all right. For the man who just got saved from having to do an edit and us having to redo this outro, we'll just say he's friends with Mike the Mouth now. Derek Van Riper.
Fantastic. Thanks for saving me the edit.
You're welcome. I'm Matt Ruffino. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Good talk. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.